Welcome back to the Fantasy Flavor Podcast, where we're spicing up your daily dose of fantasy football content. Join Dylan Thomas, Sanat Ansara, and Trenton Roberts as they provide you with player and team analysis, mock drafts, and one-on-one interviews. Hey, what's going on, Fantasy Flavor Podcast listeners and YouTube viewers? Welcome back here to the Fantasy Flavor channel. Super excited to be joining you here with Sanat Ansara and Trenton Roberts. Today we're going through our wide receiver rankings rookies here as of April 26, 2020. We're doing part two here, 7 through 12. So we're going to be talking about Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, Brandon Ayuk, Brian Edwards, Chase Claypool, and we'll be wrapping it up here with LaVisca Chenault Jr. So if you're listening on podcast platforms, check the top of the link at the top of the description for our rankings. And if you're on YouTube, they should be right in front of your eyes. So let's start it off here. Mouthful there at the beginning. And Michael Pittman. I feel like there's no better place to start off with the Michael Pittman truther The Colts fan.
Yeah. Well, Michael Pittman, he was going to the draft. He was toss up for my wide receiver 4 in the class. His wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, he was right in there, him and Jalen Reagor. And they were just jumping back and forth in my rankings. I love Pittman. He's a really deceptive route runner for his size. He's got great hands. I believe he only had 2 drops in his entire career. So he's got amazing hands and a really underrated route runner, great red zone threat, and he's exactly what Phillip Rivers wants. So he has that immediate value as well. Phillip Rivers loves his tall targets, loves those tall guys. He loves to target them. So Michael Pittman has a clear path to the wide receiver 2 role right away and potential to go to the wide receiver 1 here in a year or so once T.Y. Hilton is out. But he's just got a lot of talent, and I just really, really love his potential.
I totally agree, and it's only because that I had Pittman, higher before the draft. That's why I have him higher in the rankings. Otherwise, based on landing spot, I could easily go Ayuk or Ruggs or Chenault over him. Like those wide receivers are very, very close for me. But because I like Pittman more before the draft, that's why I have him here. And whatever Trenton said, I totally agree.
Yeah, I guess I'm the lowest on Pittman. And honestly, him and Chenault were really close. I'll get into why I like Chenault a little bit more. But honestly, really good reasoning there. I think I could honestly move Pittman up. That could be one of the guys I might change throughout this offseason process. So, my only problem with Pittman was he was kind of like a one-year wonder. And, I think it's okay to be a one-year wonder, especially if you're at a bigger school like Alabama or like Ohio State or Oklahoma, where they're drafting all these like great 5-star, 4-star recruits. It's going to take your time to build up there. But he's playing at freaking USC. USC can't recruit nobody. So why did it take him till his senior year to like finally like break out and like start producing? And when he did, I have to give him credit. When he did produce, he dominated here. But could he be the next, we were talking about it before the show, like Hakeem Butler obviously is better draft capital, which is good for him, right? And that's why I have him, in my top 10. So it'll be interesting to see. That's kind of my concern. It's a one-year wonder thing. I like people who produce over, a certain amount of years.
Yeah, but his talent, route running and those, and he also comes from a NFL family. So those things, help a player.
Yeah, it'll be really cool to see. Obviously, I guess I'm a little lower.
The draft capital was really nice too.
Yeah.
Yep. Top of the second round.
I do think there's some
and the opportunity there. Like T.Y. Hilton is very old.
I don't think Hilton's bad. I could see Hilton quietly putting up like 900, 1,000 yards again though. Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yes, but do you think? Don't think he is there next year.
I don't
think Hilton will be there.
I think he should be, but he's only in. Going to be in the league. He's not going to be in the league too much longer because he is that speed guy. And with age, there comes less speed.
He's a good route runner, though. So who knows?
He's a great route runner. I love T.Y.
Yeah, you love Jonathan Taylor up higher than the sky.
you love Naeem Hines too, so who cares?
Yeah. All right. Moving on here, I believe we have At number 8, T. Higgins. I'm the highest, so I feel like I should start off here. He's kind of my wide receiver 5. Honestly, there's no correlation from, like, kind of this to, like, NFL success. But, like, he's been dominant everywhere he goes. Highly touted high school recruit. You know, highly touted college recruit. Both dominated high school and college, you know. And then, you know, he kind of comes into the NFL here. 33rd overall pick to the Bengals. And I actually think the Bengals are a really interesting landing spot. And, you know, the year one production might be a little hard to come there with AJ Green and Tyler Boyd. He probably has that number 3 job, I'd assume, though, unless they want to use John Ross. But I like Higgins a lot. You know, he broke out pretty early. He produced well at college, especially came on strong there his junior year there. Just kind of like, you know, I think the separation's a big concern on film, and I'm sure Trent will probably get into that. But I think he's kind of like, he's just a smart player. I feel like there's things to work on too, but it's honestly tethered to Burrow. He'll probably be Burrow's X receiver. And to me, that's really interesting. And like I said, I think he's just been very good everywhere he's done so far. Slipped, I think, due to not testing at the combine, then his pro day. Times weren't the best. I think he ran like a 4.5, which is really good for him, honestly. A 4.5 is fine. A lot of the receivers in the NFL who've had success run 4.5s, like Allen Robinson, Hopkins.
Yeah.
Michael Thomas might have ran like a 4.6 or a high 4.5. Can't remember, but you don't need to be Henry Ruggs, you know. So, what do you guys kind of think about Higgins?
Yeah, I just don't like his landing spot that much. I really like the player. The problem is that it's a very tough division, and he has a lot of competition there right now. And Bengals have talked about extending Green. I don't know how much true that is, but if Green is extended, suddenly the path to targets, you know, goes down a bit. And also, Bengals are not a great organization, so who knows what they will do with players there. So that's why. That's the only reason. Bumped him down a little bit.
Looking at Higgins on tape, I'm not a big Higgins fan. He struggles a lot to get open. He struggles with separation because of he is really slow out of his stance. He doesn't have a really good press release, and he's not the best route runner. He didn't even have a full route tree that he had to go with. He was given a few routes because maybe he can learn more, but maybe that's all he could handle. So we don't know, and that worries me a lot about guys who don't run a lot of routes in college. Can they handle more? Some can, some can't. The biggest issue, though, he struggled with separation on weak cornerbacks. He played a lot of not great cornerbacks in his college career. He played some really, really weak corners because he was across from another great wide receiver in Justin Ross. So you have struggles there. I think that Trevor Lawrence made him better than he really is. And I believe that overall, he struggled to separate against worse competition. So I can't see him separating that well. Plus, on top of what Sanatan said, he's going into an offense with a lot of competition already. So that's what kind of scares me.
Yeah, I feel like the extending AJ Green thing came out before they drafted Higgins. So maybe they thought he wasn't going to be there. And now, since I'd be surprised if they drafted Higgins that early, like over an offensive lineman, and then, like, you know, re-signed AJ Green too. But I like Higgins a lot. I do think I get the separation concerns there. But Joe Burrow is super accurate, and he threw in a lot of contested windows there with Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase even. So, you know, I think it's kind of like, I think the situation will be good after year one. And like I said, you know, I feel like Trenton wants more of that year one production from a wide receiver. Personally, I don't expect them to produce. I realize wide receivers are kind of a long-term investment. So if the talent's there, the draft capital is really good, that's what matters to me. T. Higgins is my number 5. I like him. I think, you know, he could be really good.
I just want to add that those players for me are pretty, pretty close. Like,
oh, yeah, all these
it's
guys.
Just we separate by hair. So it's not that far away anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a bit more of a gap between Pittman and Higgins, but yeah, it depends on situation. All of these guys, these 6 guys, these last 6 guys on our top 12, all of these guys are really similar. They can all be in that same tier bunched in, depending on what happens around them. Anything can change.
Yeah, T. Higgins might be a little higher for me than you guys. I don't know about these tiers. They're all like super close. I might have T. Higgins at the bottom of the tier above. I haven't really thought about the tiers too much, but they're all super close. I agree. You know, if I got Michael Pittman over like a T. Higgins or a LaVisca Chenault, I wouldn't be sweating tears, you know, crying or sweating or anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's move on here though. Brandon Ayuk, someone I really don't like, to be honest with you. I don't know. It's just, who's the highest on him? I feel like it's not just start off. What do you like about Brandon Ayuk?
He is an electric playmaker, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get the ball in his hand and he can get a lot of yaks. I think he is the number one in this class in yak and yards after catch. And that is what Shanahan does. Like, he wants to get players who, you know, Jimmy G can just throw shot and they can get them yards after catch. All of their running backs, wide receivers are made that way. And 49ers really traded up to get him. And we also heard some chatters that he was the number one wide receiver that they wanted to get. So, and I'm a big fan of Shanahan. So I think he's a great offensive mind. And if he likes someone and traded up to get him, and the tape shows that, you know, Ayuk can score from anywhere. Once if he gets a lane, he's going the distance. So if those are the things, only worry is a little bit injury issues, I think. Other than that, I think the draft capital is better than the players that we have discussed already. So I don't see, and also opportunity. Who is the second wide receiver there? No one else apart from Debo. All kinds of opportunities there. Great offense, great offensive mind. So, you know, I'm just surprised he's not higher in my rankings than where I have put him.
It's a love-hate relationship with me for Ayuk. He was in this draft, I believe, the second best yards after the catch guy in this draft behind KJ Hamler, who actually have one slot ahead of him. He's not listed on our top 12 because you guys hate him, but
we don't hate him.
But I like him because he's good after the catch, and that fits really well. He also had really, really good draft capital. He was a first round pick. So I mean, they're going to use him. And we heard a lot here and there that they were going to use Debo more. And I feel like that might change now that they took a wide receiver in the first round. They might switch to Ayuk being their top guy. So we'll have to see from that. However, he is a smaller guy in a run-happy offense. And I don't know. I don't see a lot more other than the after the catch. I don't see much wiggle in his game. I don't see that. I mean, he can get open, but it's when he gets open, he makes the plays, but he doesn't get open consistently enough to make those plays often.
Yeah, I actually agree here with Trenton, which is, you know, it's either a really
That's rare.
Good or a really bad thing when Trenton and I agree on something. Brandon Ayuk also couldn't even produce at all. Like, he had like no production until N'Keal Harry left, and N'Keal Harry hasn't done like anything in the NFL. He's looked really bad, you know, partially because of injury, partially because he did genuinely look bad in the NFL. So it's going to be like Brandon Ayuk, I get it, but maybe it's because that Arizona system might be good producing those wide receiver ones. It'll be interesting to watch in the future. But here's the thing with Ayuk. One, I think he struggles versus press a lot. Kind of goes to the Trent's point of creating on his own. So if they play him kind of as the number one there, he might get pressed a lot. Two, he's super similar to Debo, I think, honestly, with kind of how they kind of need to be schemed open. I think Debo's a little better for me. I think he meets some of the more metrics. I think Debo is kind of just overall kind of the better player there. So I don't see him as a one, and I kind of see him kind of like, I remember I was talking to you, Sanat, and I was like, when they drafted Debo, I'm like, what the hell are they doing? And like, what do you mean? I love Debo. I'm like, Debo's a good player. I get it. But he kind of does what Dante Pettis does. They all kind of have little niches in their game. Like, Dante Pettis is probably the better route runner, or Debo Samuel is probably the most tough guy there, and Brandon Ayuk might be the best yak guy. But they all kind of play that Y. So I'm like, what the hell is Shanahan thinking? And it's still like, what the hell is he thinking? You know what I mean? Having three Ys, you need an X, a Y, and a Z, right? And they all do different things. And I feel like Trent can back me up there. You need three different players that offer different things. And all these guys offer the same thing. So that's why Ayuk's low for me. Because Trent and I both hate him, and that's very alarming.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. I just love the situation a lot.
Yeah, you're a big Shanahan guy, so I get it.
Yeah.
Moving on here, we have one of my favorite guys, honestly, my favorite sleeper, Bryan Edwards here. And I believe I'm the highest on him, so I'm going to start off here with a hot take. I think in 3 years from now, we're going to look back, and Bryan Edwards will be the better fantasy producer than Henry Ruggs. I said it in the last part. If you're just watching this part, hi, hello, check out the last part. But that's my bold take. That's my hot take. We'll see how it plays out. But Bryan Edwards, his game reminds me of Michael Thomas. Those are big words, I know, but like just kind of the games they play. So, and I like the Raiders a lot because third round draft capital is good, and I think Ruggs will be better for real life than fantasy. So I think he'll be able to open up the middle of the field and kind of play that Michael Thomas role, if you will, okay? And Bryan Edwards had a rare breakout age of 17. That means he was dominating college at age 17. He wasn't even 18 yet. He wasn't allowed to vote. Think about that. That's incredible. He's dominating, grown men, 21, 22-year-old corners at South Carolina. So I like Bryan Edwards a lot. I think he's been great this whole time. I feel like he went lower than he should have because he got injured before the combine, and there are no pro days.
Yes.
So I love Bryan Edwards. He's my number one wide receiver sleeper. Great value.
Same. I have the same exact thinking that you do, and I also think he will be the better. I'm not saying 100%, but I think he's very, very talented, and he could easily be the number one there instead of Ruggs. And he slipped because of the injury, and I am going to bump him up later. So I think it's just because of the quarterback, and I'm pretty sure that they'll have a different quarterback next year, hopefully.
Yeah, I think Derek Carr could go with Bryan Edwards, though, if he works at short to intermediate.
Yeah,
field, I think that would be good.
Yeah, match. He could. Mm-hmm.
What do you kind of think about Bryan Edwards?
He has a bad mix of two of the things that you need to be able to project well to the next level, in my opinion. He struggles with drops, concentration drops, and he's not a great route runner. So he's going, if he can separate at all, he might drop it, but that's if he can. So I think he's that guy that could be a chain mover, and maybe catch a few touchdowns, but I see him more as the team's wide receiver three of the future. I think that they go get somebody else again. And Ruggs, I've said before, I love Ruggs. I really think he's very underrated by the fantasy community. But I think that Edwards definitely has potential. But I just don't like that he's... I don't like those traits on him. Those are negative traits for me, and I just am not a fan of that. He does have good height. He does have, I believe, decent speed.
Very good ball skills.
Right, and he's good with the ball. It's just the after the catch, he's not good after the catch. He's bad with separating off of routes, and he's bad with concentration drops. So that's the areas of concern for me.
I think the good thing with the drops, though, is if they're concentration, those can be fixed. I don't feel like that's a death sentence. Mm, concentration drops are just simple as you just got to pay a little more attention. You got to work on your focus. That's fixable. It's not like butter, he literally has butter for hands. So...
Right. Yeah, yeah. It is fixable, but when you look at a lot of guys who they've had in their you look at scouting reports on guys in the past, that the scouting reports of the guys that say they have concentration drops, a lot of those same guys still have issues with drops in the NFL. And you don't, it's very rare that you see a guy that has issues with concentration drops that absolutely fixes it in the NFL. So you're not going to see that, and it's worrying to me that I think he'll still drop a decent bit in the NFL. And knowing Gruden, if he drops two passes in a game, he could be benched the next game for like the next couple games. So it's scary.
Yeah,
that is correct.
Kind of shocking why you're so high on Judy then, considering he has the exact same problem, if not worse, in my opinion. But I don't want to get back to Judy here. I just want to move on here to our number 11 here, wide receiver, Chase Claypool. He was announced as a wide receiver. I still think he's going to be better as a tight end. I'm going to stick with my guns. Steelers could use it, need a tight end. Maybe he'll transition in a few years. We'll see. But Chase Claypool, I mean, surprisingly, you're not the highest on him, Trent. I don't know why we're tied to him. But
yeah, he'll be 12 for me too. Okay. I mean, I'm bumping it down.
So if he's our consensus 12, that may mean, you know, Chenault could move up there. But we'll just talk about Claypool for sure. Claypool, how about you start it off, Trent? I feel like, you know, the Notre Dame guy here, actually, Notre Dame football, I'll pull it out here while we talk about good old Chase Claypool. So
Claypool has fun tape. He has really fun tape. He's that guy. He blew up the combine. We all knew he blew up the combine. Issue is that speed doesn't show up as often on tape. He's dominant at the catch point, but he doesn't separate as much as you would think with a guy that ran, what, a 4.43? Something like that? And but he's good at the catch point, and he's a tall receiver that you can use in the red zone. He's got great vertical, great hands. So he's definitely got the potential to break out in the touchdown department. So he's got a lot in that regard. He's got a lot of potential. But he's the clear wide receiver 2 at best for the future. He's not going to be the wide receiver 1 because you got Juju ahead of him. So that's, I mean, you got Juju, and Juju's going to take a ton of targets. Juju's a target hog. So there's going to be fewer targets to go around, and a guy that struggles to get separation on routes, even though he should, he's got good hands. But if he struggles to separate, I don't know. But it's really fun to just watch his tape. I love just watching his college tape.
Yeah, for me, he really struggles to get off the line, and that might be concerning too. And that's why my comp for him, like a ceiling comp, he might be like a Darren Waller. And I think he could hit that ceiling. But it's just kind of like with Claypool. It's just, I don't buy into it. It's another one of those guys that took a while to produce. I don't feel like he really blew up till Miles Boykin was gone, and Miles Boykin, it's not going to test it. Really hasn't been that great. So nothing special, to be honest there. So that's kind of just my concern with Claypool. I am obviously Big Ben might be gone, and that'll be bad. Also, it's just kind of considering Deontay Johnson. I feel like Snot and I are a little higher on him. So he might even just be the wide receiver 3. I think this move is more good, that the Steelers grabbing is more good for Juju, because maybe they'll put Claypool at the X and move Juju back into the slot. So that's kind of my thoughts on Claypool.
Yeah, I think he'll move down even further for me, because the only thing I was thinking is that maybe the Steelers move on from Juju next year, and but that also comes with, you know, them moving on with Ben. So the quarterback situation is not very stable there, but yeah, the opportunity might open up if Juju moves on. So that's why I was a bit higher, but thinking back, I think it has to go down. I'm not a big fan of the player.
Yeah, I think we should just move on here to the last guy here, Laviska Shenault Jr. By far, I don't even know if he was ranked for you guys. Ranked, I believe, 11 for Sinan. Trent had Kamler on him on pretty high instead. Just Shenault, the problem with him is just health. He kind of reminds me of like a taller Debo, but he just can't stay healthy. He ran a little bit slower than I think people thought he would. I think he plays a little faster on tape. You know, he had a great second year there at Colorado, and he's just been injury riddled. And honestly, he could be one of the best wide receivers in this draft class if it isn't for health. And I don't think the Jaguars are that bad of a landing spot. I think Gardner Minshew's okay. I also don't think DJ Chark's the best. I wouldn't surprise me if DJ Chark is one day supplanted by somebody else to be their Jacksonville's wide receiver too. The thing with Laviska is I have a crazy theory. And this is why it's probably our consensus number 12. I think the Jaguars suck next year, right? You guys agree. I think they're tanking for Trevor Lawrence. And the fact that Laviska Shenault, D.D. Westbrook hasn't been that good, the fact that Laviska Shenault could be his number 2 wide receiver, that has to be interesting. That has to be interesting, considering how it's stacked. Even Justin Fields, that has to be interesting. He could maybe play that T. Higgins role, or that even like a Deebo Samuel role, like a Compton 2, in a Trevor Lawrence-led offense, and that has to be interesting. So that's why I'm kind of high on him, too, and some of the metrics meet him. It's just health for him, and I'm okay with taking a health risk there in, like, the mid-late second. I like Biska.
Yeah, the health risk has been... I have seen that many players who comes with these health concerns really have health issues in the NFL, too. And, again, the landing spot... You know, the thing is that the quarterback is not great, but the number one job is there for the taking. Mm-hmm. I also don't believe that Chark is a prototypical number one. People are very high on him, but I am not. I think he can be supplanted, as you said. So I totally agree with you there. It's just the health risk is just too much for me to invest on a player like a mid-second or even early second and not get anything later for him when we have so many great wide receivers in this class. Why take a risk? That's the only reason. No other reason.
When I look at Laviska Shenault, my comp for him is a slower Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a gadget player. He's not going to be that guy that's going to be out there and get tons of targets, tons of stuff. He's going to be that guy that you use as a gadget player. He will move around. You can put him in as a running back, do stuff. So it'll be interesting how they use him, but he won't be that guy that they're going to use him as their wide receiver one. He just doesn't have that repertoire. He's not going to be that guy. He's not going to be a wide receiver one. He's going to be a gadget player, and he could be a good gadget player, but that speed concerns me, and it's just you don't see gadget players succeed ever. We've never seen one. Cordarrelle Patterson, he had great tape, great everything, and then he came to the league and he was a gadget player. He didn't do that great. He's a good kick returner. I'll give him that. But he's not that great in anything else. He's a gadget player, and that's what Laviska Shenault is going to be.
I think he's better than a gadget player. For me, it's more injuries than being a gadget player. He was so good in Colorado his sophomore season. My God, there's people draped over him, and he was like manhandling.
I agree that he's closer to Debo than to Patterson.
Yeah. But, it'll be interesting to see. Thank you so much for our listeners and our viewers for listening to our part two here of our wide receiver rankings. Make sure to leave a like. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to tweet at us, comment at us. Let us know what you think about these rankings. We'd love to hear your feedback. And stay safe during this time. Make sure to wash your hands and have a good rest of your day. Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. Feel free to leave feedback, subscribe, or check out our previous content. And remember, have a fantastic rest of your day.